That's coming through loud and clear, I think. Good. Thank you, Mark, for leading us this morning. So here we are, January. What's the first thing you associate with January? Well, yeah, cold. January sales? No? No? Nobody? Well, perhaps it used to be bigger than it is now. I don't know. I mean, you get Black Friday sales and Cyber Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday or whatever, and sale this and sale that. So perhaps it's not as big a thing as it used to be. But certainly, it used to be, this is it. We've got Christmas out of the way and we'll pick up all our bargains. And if you're really clever, then you pick up sort of this year's Christmas presents because they're selling off last year's Christmas presents. You know what I'm saying anyway, yes. And you get people who are very good at getting bargains. You know, people can haggle, deal, and they can do a really good job. To be honest, I'm absolutely useless at haggling. Totally useless. The best bit of haggling I ever did was when I wasn't trying to haggle. I was out and I was getting a VCR, shows you how long ago it was, for my mum. And I'd gone into the shop and I was talking to the salesman who was showing me all the different models, and eventually we selected one. And I thought to myself, oh, we need to buy some tapes. And I said, I need some tapes. He says, oh, go on then, I'll throw two in. I thought, oh, that's a deal. Yeah, go on. But we like a bargain. We like a good deal. You know, we like value for money, don't we? You know, there's no point in sort of paying twice as much for something when you can get it for the same price somewhere else. Turn to Isaiah 55. This is one heck of a deal. Isaiah 55. We're just going to look at the first couple of verses there. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, this is what it says, the Lord speaking. He says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will have delight in the richest of fares. Come and buy with no money. That don't make sense. Without money and without cost. But just because something's without cost doesn't mean to say it's without value. He says, why spend money on what is not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? And then he talks about giving them the richest of fare. And that certainly is a good deal. That you're coming with nothing and you're getting something of great worth, great value. The richest of fare. You know, we're told that everything has a price. It might have a price, but what is its value? It was Oscar Wilde who wrote that a cynic knows the price of everything, but the value of nothing. Think about that. The price of everything, but the value of nothing. Because value is not the same as price. How many times, perhaps somebody's lost something, or perhaps there's been a theft, a robbery, or something like that, and somebody said about something that's missing, it's not so much the price of it, it's what it means to me. Because in monetary terms, the value might be really low, but it means something. A memento of something that's been handed on, something that for you creates a special memory, something that reminds you of an event, of somebody perhaps who's died. It's something that gives comfort, lifts us, carries us, and it's something that we value. But if you were to put it up for auction, how much would you get for it? Perhaps not much at all. And the fact of the matter is, we don't always recognise the value of things. We don't always understand how precious something is. You know, how many times have you seen these sort of auction things where something's been taken up for auction? People have been stunned by how much somebody else has put on that particular thing that they thought was just a piece of rubbish. We don't always recognise value. We don't always recognise worth. But how do you value something? What value do you put on things? If you drive, you will be aware that petrol prices have been up and down. At the moment, they're up. They're definitely not going down at the moment. But they have been sort of up and down. Why? You know, why is the value of something like that so up and down? Well, it's basically the price that somebody's prepared to pay for it. You know, if somebody wants it, and they really want it, then they will give a higher price for it. In the field that I work in refrigeration, this is an interesting little statistic. One refrigerant, R404, because of various legislations and other things, the price has increased 62% in 1 month. 62% in 1 month. That's some going. Another refrigerant, sorry to bore you, all right, but the price quadrupled. I priced this thing up sort of in July last year and then had to price it up again, and I thought they'd actually given me the wrong price. It was four times. Somebody had decided that it was now worth four times the amount. I didn't actually buy it, so obviously to me it wasn't. But we set values on things. You know, we're having some work done in the house. That's fun. But it's an opportunity to clear out rubbish. Except maybe it's not. Because you see, somebody might say, I want to keep that. And somebody else might want, well, that's rubbish, that. Why are you keeping all of that? But what value do we put on it? And who's doing the valuing? Because you'll get a different idea. You'll get a different perspective for each person. You know, if you went round each one of us, you presented some sort of item here and said, what's it worth? I doubt if we would say exactly the same price. You know, what's it worth to you? What value does it have for you? Well, for somebody, it might have absolutely no value whatsoever. But for somebody else, it might be almost without value, or almost priceless, should I say. But can something have ultimate value rather than comparative value? Going to have a look at a passage. We'll look at the three synoptic gospels. The three synoptic gospels, obviously Matthew, Mark, Luke. Generally, if you're going to look at something, you're as well to look at all three because they give slightly different perspectives sometimes. Matthew, eyewitness, one of the disciples, probably originally written in Aramaic. Mark, in all probability, he got his details from Peter. And Luke got details from eyewitnesses, particularly the mother of Jesus, Mary. And you get slightly different sort of looks at things sometimes. Sometimes it's almost verbatim. You know, they give you exactly the same things in exactly the same way. Other times, slightly different. And the one that we're going to look at this morning is the story that's entitled The Rich Young Man. If you turn to Matthew chapter 19, this is particularly interesting because in Matthew, Mark and Luke, they all use a different word to describe exactly the same thing. Okay? In Matthew 19:21, what's happened is, I'm sure you're aware, the rich young man's come along, said, you know, I've tried to follow the law, do this, do that, everything else. What must I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, well, you've got to honour your mother, honour your father, etc. Oh, I've done all that, he says. Then it said, Jesus looked at him and told him. In Matthew 19:21, it says this. If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. If you want to be perfect. The Greek word there that's translated is teleos, and it means complete. If you want to be complete, if you want to be lacking nothing, then give your money away and follow me. And what Jesus is saying in this passage is he needed something else to complete the picture. Ever lost a piece of a jigsaw? It's frustrating, isn't it? Oh, you've sort of battled through everything and you got to the final point and there's that one piece missing. Well, it's useless then, isn't it? unless it's sort of right down at the corner and you can get away with it, but it's generally in the middle. This young man wanted another piece. He needed something else. But the fascinating thing is, Jesus says to him, you need something else. But then he told him to get rid of something. That doesn't sort of seem to quite follow on. You know, you're missing something, give something away. You've not got enough, get rid of something else. In Mark 10, 21, we have exactly the same passage. Different word though this time. In Mark 10, 21, this is what Jesus said. It says, Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, one thing you lack. One thing you lack, ostereo, to be inferior, to be in want. To not have enough, to not actually get up to the point, you're lacking something. Matthew said, you're not perfect, you're incomplete. Mark's saying, through Peter, well, Peter sort of translating it and giving it to Mark, he's saying, you've got a lack. You're inferior. Luke 18, verse 22. Again, same situation. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. And that word there is lepo, and it means to be absent. There is one thing that's absent in your body of things. There's one thing that you don't have. There's something that you need. But again, it's the same thing. You need something else, get rid of that. How can getting rid of something make up a lack? A guy called Raymond Holywell said this, no matter what we want of life, we have to give up something in order to get it. I'll read that to you again. No matter what we want in life, we have to give it up in order to get it. We have to give something up. We have to surrender something. We have to be prepared to let go of something to get something else. The young man realized that despite his wealth, which from the accounts was considerable, he needed something more. He realized he wasn't perfect. He realized what he had was inferior. He realized that he was missing something. And Jesus is saying that we get more by having less. Less of what you do not need. As I say, we're sort of clearing out. We're getting rid of clutter. Things that you sort of set on one side and think, oh, well, I'll keep that just in case whatever. Yeah. Sometimes the things that we have can get in the way. Sometimes the things that we have can be obstructions. Sometimes the things that we have can actually be more of a hindrance than a help. And money in itself is not bad. But it can be bad if it's in the wrong place. We were out a few weeks back, and we were at one of these sort of homes that's been taken over by National Trust. And the lady guide who was sort of showing us and telling us about the house said, oh, you know, over there we've got a chess set. I don't play chess myself, so it's not set up properly. And I looked at it. I don't play chess an awful lot. I can play. But you can see, oh, that shouldn't be there. That piece shouldn't be there. That's in the wrong place. What are you playing at? You know, it's totally wrong. And we can have pieces in the wrong place. And they can cause obstructions. But, you know, that's not where it stops. Jesus is saying, you're not perfect. What you have is inferior. You're lacking something. So give away your money. But then you've got to give even more away. This isn't logical, is it? You know, you haven't got enough, but keep giving stuff away. How does that get you more? Well, we'll see. Because Jesus turns round to him, he said, give away your money and then follow me. Give away your money, then give away your life. And this is going to make him perfect. This is going to make him not inferior. This is going to complete the picture for him. Jesus is saying to him, to be complete, you need less of what you've got. To have more, you need less. I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong because it's an Italian name. So Cesare Pavese is an Italian poet, novelist, literary critic. This is what he says. Every luxury must be paid for, and everything in this life is a luxury, starting with being here in the first place. Okay? Every luxury must be paid for, and everything in this life is a luxury, starting with being in the world in the first place. Do we value what we've got? Do we understand what we have with this gift of life? When we're younger, we take life for granted. And as people get older, they understand a little bit more, and perhaps wisdom. We understand the value of life. What is an hour of your time worth? Do you know you can be valued in the workplace? But in actual fact, your time is precious. Because once it's gone, it is not coming back. Every single second, and we don't know how many we've got, is irreplaceable. With such an irreplaceable gift, can we afford to give it away? We need a proper perspective. At work, sometimes you look at different things and you say, oh, we need this particular piece of kit. And sometimes in science, the piece of kit is hundreds of thousands of pounds. You go to the university and say, you know, we want this. Or you go to the people who provide the grants and say, we want this. And they want to know several things. Sometimes they might want to know a payback time. If I give you some money, how long is it going to take for that to come back? And that, when you take a loan out, it's effectively the same thing, isn't it? And in many ways, they're asking, what's the value of this thing? How much value are you putting on it? How much value does somebody else put on it? You know, after the encounter with the rich young man, Peter turned around to Jesus and said to him, we have left everything to follow you. The disciples had given up their livelihood, their homes, even their families. And the question that Peter's stating there is it worth it? We've given you the lot up. What does Jesus say to him in response? He says, truly I tell you, to the one who has left home or brothers or sisters, mothers, father or children or fields for me and the gospel, they will not fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecution and, in the age to come, eternal life. In this life, we will receive many blessings from God. He tells us, he puts his blessings on, and he says, the evil and the good. His sun, his rain, he covers each and every one. There are many blessings as we walk this Christian life. God's presence with us, his direction, his care, and his provision. Although it does say in this life, you will also receive persecution. And some of us receive more of that than others. It's a mixture. But his perspective is far beyond ours. You know, when you go for one of these investment plans and you want to see how much they'll give you, they talk about 5-year, 10-year turnaround, payback. Well, actually, God's looking well beyond that. Because what he's saying is beyond this lifetime, the thing that I'm talking about is in actual fact invaluable. I'm talking about eternal life. Paul in Corinthians 1 Corinthians 4:16 to 18 says this, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This guy who suffered so much, and in another place he actually listed them, he says, our light and momentary troubles. Wow. He lists how many times he was beaten by the Jews, how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times he was stoned. But that's light, and it's momentary. God, give me that perspective. But what he's saying is, what we're actually aiming for is unseen, and it is eternal. He says a similar thing in Philippians 3, 7 to 11. For whatever were gains for me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. What value? What price? The rich young ruler knew that he wasn't perfect. He knew he wasn't complete. He knew that what he had was inferior. He knew that what he had was lacking. And Jesus said, it's not a case of getting more. It's a case of having less. Give away your money. Give away your life. Because the thing that you can have, the thing that you actually desire, eternal life, is only achieved that way. At the start of this new year, let us have a re-evaluation of our values. What is valuable? What is important? What do we lack? Is there something that we need to get rid of, clear out of the way, so that we can be complete? What's our perspective? 5-year, 10-year plan? Or are we looking towards the unseen, the eternal? Are we willing to surrender our most valuable, irreplaceable possession in exchange for something of even greater value and worth? Are we willing to give ourselves? Are we willing to follow him wherever that takes us?